And welcome to a brand new episode of Inside the Ropes here in the main feed. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always by my co-hostess with the mostest. Her name is Sondra. Hi, Sondra. How are you?
Hi, Kenny. I'm doing pretty well on this America Day. It's America Day here.
Oh, say, can you see?
I can. I can see fireworks all the time because so many of them were already going off last night, which is, you know, it's a thing. It's fine. I get to work on the 4th of July, and so normally what happens is I work and then I drive home and then I see a fireworks display on my way home because people are just lighting off fireworks and that will basically be my celebration. So it's not like the most exciting day in the world, but oh well, it's fine.
Well, happy 4th of July to all of our American listeners. You know, hope you have a good day, whatever you got up to. We should mention to begin with, but pretty exciting news for us. We last night hit 90,000 YouTube subscribers, which
so
is
cool.
Very fun. We're actually already at like 90,529 now, so we're almost like getting 91. And one of the good things, we're almost at 100,000, which is a huge thing for like an independent channel that doesn't really, you know, it's a big deal. And then once we get to the 100,000, then what happens is we actually get to when you get to 100,000 subscribers, it opens up a lot of other stuff that you can do. Like you can do live streams and you can, you know, you have more ability to do different things with content. So if you are not signed up already, youtube.com/insidetheropes. Also Patreon, or Patreon, which pays the wages of the staff here at Inside the Ropes. So it really is important. So if you are able to support us in any way over there, that would be a big help. Loads of bonus content, weekly NXT reviews, Thunder from 1998, retro pay-per-view reviews, pay-per-view reviews, Finn Martin does articles, you get the Power Slam podcast 24 hours early, you get a Power Slam overrun, tons and tons of stuff, and we do a $50 pledge podcast with people, and I did one where I watched Chikara yesterday for the first time, and we did a 90-minute show on the Once Upon a Beginning. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Once Upon
yep,
a Beginning
Once Upon
show.
A Beginning. It was from April.
From April, from WrestleMania weekend. So that was a fun one to do. I think Sondra was terrified at doing it because she was like, is Kenny just going to shit over my favorite thing?
I was so nervous, but we came through it. I think we came through it pretty much unscathed.
We did.
We are still talking, Matt. It's true. And so, yes, thank you to Matt for requesting that podcast. It was a lot of fun to do. Like, it was a lot of fun to kind of watch Chikara and try to figure out how to explain it to people. And I hope we did okay with it.
Yeah, I think we did a good job of explaining different perspectives on it. And,
yes.
And sort of, you know, but it's definitely worth a listen. And there's also a link, I think, that Sondra's put in the description if you want to watch the show to check it out as well. And you can do it as part of a free trial and stuff. So, yeah, go check that out. To kick us off, Fyter Fest took place last Saturday. Now, I talked about it with David a bit on over to you. I then on Patreon the Power Slam. So people have heard what I've got to say. I'm not really going to speak as much for this portion. But what do you think? Talk me through Fyter Fest. What you do? You want me to just like name the matches and just give me some thoughts? Would that work?
Yeah, that's probably easiest because I did watch Fyter Fest, but it's been, you know, a few days and I can't remember everything that happened in order. I enjoyed Fyter Fest. I thought it was a good show.
So the pay-per-view opens with Chima and Christopher Daniels. What did you make of that as an opener?
I thought it was a great opener. I liked it a lot. I liked their chemistry in the ring. I liked that it was two veterans of, you know, wrestling. I liked that they had a history with one another that I thought was explained really well in commentary. I thought commentary was actually quite good on the show. I really liked Golden Boy. I'd never heard of him or heard him before, and I liked him a lot. And actually, it occurred to me this is the first show from AEW, or I mean, I know it's like their second show, but it's the first one that I've actually just watched broadcast, because like All In, I was there, and then Double or Nothing, I was there. So this is the first time I've really seen a broadcast of this, kind of group of people, and it was enjoyable. Like I really enjoyed the commentary, and I thought Christopher Daniels and Shima did really, really well. I think it was cool to see Shima get the win. I think he needed it a little bit more just to kind of establish himself, and also if he's facing Kenny Omega, right? At
Yes, he is.
Fight for the Fallen. So it made sense for him to get a win kind of going into a big match with Kenny Omega, obviously. And that's a match I am really looking forward to as well, because I think it's going to be great.
There we got the three-way with Yuka Sakazaki, Rio, and Nyla Rose. What are your thoughts?
I am of two minds about this match. Like, in one sense, I really like Nyla Rose. I think she's big brute and I think she's a monster. I think this match was really sloppy though, and I think there were a bunch of times where I think Nyla Rose looked maybe a little inexperienced, or it just looked a little bit messy, and she was down for so long on the outside while Rio and Yuka Sakazaki were fighting each other. So it didn't work for me as well as I wanted it to work for me. I know a lot of people really loved this match. It just, there were things in it that didn't click. And I love, like, Yuka Sakazaki is just fantastic. Like, I just adore her. And so it was a little bit underwhelming for me, I think, because Nyla Rose, like, I liked her coming out at first and just like murdering the other girls. But then I think it just kind of, I don't know if it just went on too long, or if, they had to like make up excuses for her to still be down and let the other two wrestle and whatnot, and some of it just didn't click. But I mean, I think it was still good, but it wasn't my favorite and didn't really click for me as well as I wanted it to. What did you think of this one? Because I haven't talked to you about this match. Sorry for everyone that's going to be repeating. I'm just curious.
No, I liked it. I really liked it. There was sloppy spots in it, but I liked the story of Nyla Rose kind of being, she's too cocky for her own good and stuff, and it worked for me. I mean, when she went
And
up
it kind of
against,
felt like a, it felt like a handicap match a lot of the time, which I think was an interesting way to go with
it did,
it.
yeah. When Nyla Rose went up top and did the kind of flying, thing to the head, I think it was Yuka. That was great. So I think it was a good night for Nyla. But I mean, I guess it's tough because like you've got these two Japanese workers who are very used to going fast and hard and whatever, and then you get Nyla who's a lot greener, and you've got to try and sync it up. But yeah, I mean, it was a bit sloppy. I mean, I liked it, but I wouldn't argue with you that it was sloppy in places. Then we had the four-way match with Adam Page, Jimmy Havoc, Jungle Boy, and MJF with a tremendous MJF pretty much promo. I don't know if there's been a better piece of camera work than MJF saying, while I was losing my virginity or whatever, and it cuts this
He was
guy,
like, yeah,
this
I
guy.
used to be into video games. I used to be super into video games. And then I lost my virginity, and then it cut to that guy.
Best camera cut of recent memory. It was so good. Whoever found that, it was just like. You couldn't have written it better. But what did you
Was
make of his
incredible.
promo in the match where Adam Page went on to get the win by defeating Jimmy Havoc?
MJF is such a dick. He is such a dick. He's so good at being a dick. Yeah, he's fantastic. Like, he is a star. He's a star already. And like, he's one that when I heard that he was signed with AEW, I was like, that dude's gonna be a star. And he absolutely is. I loved this match. I thought it was fantastic. Really cool to see Jimmy Havoc in not really his element, but he still does really well. Like, I really liked him in this match. I thought, like, he's actually quite good at just like having a wrestling match. It doesn't all have to be like death and destruction and blood and all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of good to see another side of Jimmy Havoc here. Jungle Boy is someone I haven't seen a whole lot, but I really liked everyone in this match. I thought they all played their part really well. I think Adam Page getting the win seemed like kind of a foregone conclusion, unless maybe MJF was gonna beat him by dastardly means. But I mean, Adam Page is going on to fight for the championship, right? So it makes sense for him to win. And I think MJF still felt like a star in the match, and he felt like a really big deal. And having Jimmy Havoc and Jungle Boy there to kind of extend the feud and not just have it be Adam Page versus MJF right away was smart, I think. So yeah, I loved this. I thought it was great.
Then we had the big controversy. We had Cody Rhodes and Darby Allin had a 20-minute time limit draw. So before we talk about any of the post-match stuff, what did you make of the match? The idea to do the time limit draw, Justin Roberts kind of announcing it all the time, Darby Allin's performance. How did you kind of rate the whole thing?
I really liked this match. It obviously it wasn't as good as like Cody versus Dustin, but what is? I had never seen Darby Allin wrestle before, I don't think. And I really, really like Darby Allin. I am super into Darby Allin. I think Darby Allin is great. And it's always fun to see a wrestler that you don't know and then see them do really well and kind of get to appreciate someone else's talent, right? So I thought the match was good. I think it was, like Cody's a very like psychological storyteller type wrestler, and I think they did a good job with it. And I like the time limit draw actually quite a bit because like time limits in wrestling are something that I'm a big fan of. And it's the reason I like watching, like television championship type matches where there's a time limit and it's a different way to end a match. I think that's something JR used to say in his podcast is like, if you remove time limits and you remove time limit draws as an option, then you're taking away one of the ways to end a match and you're taking away a facet of storytelling. So I think it's cool because it like Cody beating Darby Allin seemed like such a foregone conclusion to everybody. And this way he didn't lose to him, and it looks like he beat him, but technically he doesn't have that win. So that opens up the possibility for storytelling down the line, and it makes Darby Allin feel like more of a star. And he, it felt like he could hang with Cody Rhodes for the entire time, right? Which not everyone thought that he was going to be able to do. So I think it was smart, and I liked this match. I saw some criticism of it that it was weirdly laid out and it was kind of confusing or whatever. But yeah, I was a fan of it personally, and I liked the storytelling with the hand too, like his hand being hurt so that he couldn't like keep in locks and stuff, Cody's hand. So
Yeah,
yeah,
I thought it was the best match on the show. I loved it.
I
I thought
loved
it
it.
was great. And then after the match, though, we got Sean Spears come out and he does a chair shot to Cody. The idea is that they had thought they had figured out a way that Cody would be able to take a chair shot that would look like an unprotected chair shot to the head. The chair was gimmicked, but the way that Sean Spears swung the chair is that the lip of the chair ended up cracking Cody in the other side of the back of his head, which caused him to bleed. And this is now going to lead to a Cody and Sean Spears program, and it's created this big controversy about the chair shot and all that kind of stuff. I know that whenever we watch Wrestle Road, the chair shots are particularly quite rough for you to watch when they do the chair shots to the head. Where do you sit on this? Do you think that a lot of the backlash they've got is warranted? Do you feel that they've done enough to kind of say, hey, we hold our hands up and is what it is? Like, where do you sit on the whole thing?
I think it was dumb. I think it was super stupid to do, even if it was gimmicked. I think portraying a chair shot to the head is just not smart. I don't want to see chair shots to the head, whether they're gimmicked or not, because I just don't think that that's the impression that you want to give with your new company, because head injuries are such a thing in the world, and like I think it was dumb. And I think that they've done a good job of saying like, hey, we hold our hands up, we thought we figured out a way, whatever. But even portraying a chair shot to the head in the first place is not something I'm a fan of. Like when someone like Paul Heyman says the thing he would redo in ECW out of everything he did, he's like, I would have no more unprotected chair shots to the head. We didn't know the consequences of brain injuries then. I don't know. I think it was stupid. And I think portraying it is stupid. And I don't think that there needs to be a place for it. I know a lot of people disagree with me on that. It's fine, I guess, if you want to disagree with me on that. But it seems so unnecessary to have chair shots to the head for any reason, because I think that you could have gotten the same reaction to Sean Spears versus Cody Rhodes without having it be a chair shot to the head. And I understand what they were going for. I understand that it was supposed to be shocking. It was supposed to be like this really big betrayal. But like, use Cody's hand injury, like have him hit Cody in the back and then like stomp on his hand and like murder that, something like that, right? Because you would have still gotten that emotional response of Sean Spears being an absolute dick and coming out and attacking Cody after his match, and you still get like, this is the breakup of their friendship, and then everyone would be talking right now about Sean Spears versus Cody Rhodes. They wouldn't be talking about unprotected chair shots to the head, which I think, even if it hadn't gone wrong, even if Cody hadn't like laid there bleeding on the floor, and I mean, thank goodness he's fine and he didn't have a concussion or anything like that, but it bugs me that that's going to be the conversation coming out of it, whether the chair was gimmicked or not. is going to be why are they portraying chair shots the head, da, 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 da. And that's just going to create this whole conversation that takes you out of the storytelling and takes you out of watching the wrestling show for me. And I would rather focus on the characters and I would rather focus on the wrestling. I am super pumped for Cody versus Sean Spears, but it bums me out that the whole thing has just been overshadowed by this chair shot situation. So, I mean, like, props to them for saying we fucked up. We are not going to do it again. This was a mistake. I'm not going to like crucify them for it, but I think it was super stupid.
Yes, I mean, I disagree 100% on it, but that's for me. I mean, I've worked in wrestling promotions. I've worked around a lot of wrestlers, and I think if people don't like it, that's fine. But I think that people keep kind of, I'm not saying you, but some people keep kind of going, well, they shouldn't be doing it on protected chair shots to the head. But that's not what the plan was. They had thought they had come up with this idea. And they wanted to try it. And I get why they try it, because, you know, it's like we talk about the sledgehammer sometimes, right? About how, like, the sledgehammer is a lot of people find the sledgehammer, like, a really unrealistic thing to do.
I hate the sledgehammer.
The thing I hate right now in wrestling is I hate the kind of, I have a chair! Please bend over so I can hit you in the back. Because that's just never how you would act. You know, I at least prefer the one where you do it in the stomach. I can imagine, because I've seen similar kind of conversations, I can imagine how the conversation went. And I think it was actually, I 100% get why they tried it. I get, because if there's a way that you can simulate something to not be an unprotected chair shot to the head and to not have any of the effects from that and for it to be gimmick and you can pull it off, then 100% go for it. If you have trained professionals who are able to do it, then great. Like, that would, I think it's a very effective method of showing punishment to a wrestler. The problem is it didn't work. That's the issue. I think if this had been like, if they had sent anybody out there who was not the Bucks or Kenny or Cody to do it, I would have a different feeling about it. But for me, it's because they are the, you know, if Cody wants to be the guinea pig to it, then I think that's, I'm much more comfortable with him doing that. I wish it had worked, because I grew up in wrestling that method of sort of punishment was really effective. Obviously, we should never do it as an unprotected chair shot. That's not what I'm saying. Unprotected chair shots should never happen, ever, ever, ever. They should never happen in wrestling. But they thought they had a way around it, and they felt confident enough that they had a way around it to try it. It didn't work. They're now not going to do it again. So, yeah, I was just kind of like, it would be a non-issue after that. I think there's other things in wrestling that are far more egregious than that, but... yeah, that was one that didn't really hit for me. I text Cody the next day, and I was just like, okay, you okay? And he just wrote back, Hollywood chair, brother. I get why people don't like them, but I 100% get the attempt, and I get why they did it. And they're not going to be doing it again, so...
No, and I mean, like, I know that I'm kind of on the, like, the far, like, no, I do not want chair shots to the head, even I don't want them simulated.
Which is
I don't
fair, like, 100% fair.
Wrestling either. Like, it bothers me that Jack Gallagher is still using a headbutt on WWE television. Like, I think it's stupid, right? Like, I'm just, protect your baby brains, wrestlers.
Well, hey, that's the difference.
Me on it. Like, I have friends who wrestle who are like, this isn't that bad, and I've taken harder chair shots than that, and all this stuff, and I'm just like, I don't know, that's just where I sit on it.
Well, I
so
think what,
sorry.
What's interesting, what you were bringing up with Jack Gallagher as an example, is that he's doing something that has been proven to cause brain damage, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas what Cody was attempting to do was something that they had thought they had gimmicked a chair, so that was not a possibility. And that isn't actually, I mean, that's not what happened. The chair was gimmicked, and it did not in any way hit him in the front of the head for real. And the thing that was the problem was the lip of the chair, which, you know, when they spun it around, and that's why he got the blood at the back. I think if you're going to do something where you think that you have a new way to do it that is not going to have the effect, and you try it, then I understand that element of it. I don't understand, like, what you're saying, like, Jack Gatt, like, why are you doing it if it's been proven that it can't? Now, I wanted to ask you about this, because... And I think Sean Spears and Cody's going to be a fun story. I'm looking forward to that. Did you see his tweet today where Sean Spears had... They put a new video up about... let me just get the tweet here while I'm on the phone. Brandi Rhodes had put a new Road to Fight for the Fallen episode up. The title is "Who Says You Can't Be Vulnerable?" And I think Brandy's supposed to be vulnerable in the episode. And Sean Spears retweeted it saying, "Speaking of vulnerable, he bled exactly how I thought he would, easily." Now, if AEW feels that they're owed any sort of explanation, they can send good old Jim Ross for a nice little sit down. Sincerely, and then in inverted commas, a great hand. Because that's what Cody called him.
That's good. So, that's so good. I'm so all in on this program. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be great. And like I said, the chair shot thing bugs me, especially because it bums me out that that's the conversation everyone's having and not looking forward to Cody versus Sean Spears, because that's something I'm super looking forward to.
I was going
to
ask you about, because obviously when this happened, they kind of went with it, right? They went with it, and JR and the other commentators, you could tell they were kind of scrambling, but they were kind of going with it and going, this is ridiculous, we shouldn't be seeing this. You know, JR at one point said there shouldn't be chairs around and this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Did you like the way that they tried to almost call it as a more sports-like thing and just went with the story, or would you have rather they handled it differently? I mean, taking your feelings of the chair shot out of the way, how they handled it after it happened, what did you think of that?
I think the way they handled it afterwards was how they had to handle it afterwards, because it was meant to be shocking and it was meant to make you feel very uncomfortable and like Cody might not be okay. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the commentators did a really good job of selling the severity of the chair shot and that kind of thing. I think the commentators did a really good job with it. I wish it hadn't happened, but
yeah,
if it did happen, then I think that they handled it well.
We got the Elite against the Lucha Brothers and Laredo Kid. The Elite got the win. They were dressed like Street Fighter people. There was lots of high-flying wrestling and lots of stuff going on. Are these kind of matches your kind of matches to watch? How did you think it went? And talk me through your thoughts.
I think these are a lot of fun. This was a lot of fun. The Street Fighter costumes, like, I don't really know Street Fighter at all, so I had to be explained. Like, I felt like JR when the other commentators were kind of like explaining Street Fighter to him. But I thought, yeah, this was super fun. It's fast, it's flippy, I don't know that I'm as like emotionally invested in these kinds of matches, but I love the acrobatics, and I think this was really good, and I hadn't really seen much of Laredo Kid before, and I think he did really, really well. Pentagon and Phoenix, I am a huge fan of. I think they're just fantastic. And, the Young Bucks, I really hadn't watched much of their stuff before even All In. Like, they just kind of weren't on my radar so much. So, I thought this was great. I thought it was a lot of fun. I know that it's not for everybody. Like, it's probably not a match that's as up your alley as it would be mine. But I think, yeah, they're fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you are into those kind of matches, then this was exactly what it needed to be. Main event was John Moxley and Joey Janela. Moxley gets the win. This match is kind of divided opinion. Some people really liked it. Some people thought it went a bit too far. Some people thought it wasn't for them. How did the match come across for you?
It was interesting that everyone thought it went too far, because I didn't think it went that far. Like, in terms of blood and guts and that type of wrestling, which isn't necessarily for me. Like, I'm not a deathmatch fan necessarily. I've gotten to appreciate it a little bit more, like, knowing some people that I do, but like, I don't know, it's never really going to be for me. But I think they did a good job with it, and it felt like a big, like, it had a really big fight feel to me, like, because I really loved the way they built to this match. I love Joey Janela's promo in the coffin, and I love John Moxley's stuff that he did, and it felt like it was going to be a war. And I was surprised it wasn't bloodier, honestly. Like, the thumbtacks and the feet was definitely cringeworthy, like, very cringeworthy. When he went and started, it was funny because I was watching it, and John Moxley dumps the thumbtacks out, and I'm just like, it's a good thing they wear boots. Like, it's a really good thing that they wear boots, and, you know, so at least, like, walking around on the thumbtacks. And then immediately after I have that thought in my head, he goes for Joey Janela's boot and, like, takes off his, you know, shoe and sock and everything, and is putting Joey Janela on thumbtacks just walking around. And, I mean, that's cringeworthy, because that's gotta hurt, you know? Like, that's not gonna feel good in your feet. And if you can't walk, then you can't really do much. So it was effective. Like, it was fine. I didn't hate it. It's not like the type of match that I'm going to want to go back and watch loads and loads of times, but I'm not exactly the audience for it. And I don't think it was like that egregious. They didn't get light tubes out or anything like that, which kind of surprised me, actually, if you're going to do that kind of match. But Yeah, I don't know. What did that's another one. Like, I haven't really talked to you about it. What did you think?
I thought it was okay. I was underwhelmed by it,
I kind of was
which
too.
is weird. But I don't, I think it's because I don't really like deathmatch style wrestling. So the stuff that was happening wasn't for me. And then, like, I hate feet at the best of time. So seeing them in thumbtacks is not gonna
That's true.
endear me. What I found interesting was that Meltzer's star ratings came out for the show, and he gave let me see if I can find it here. He gave Cody and Darby Allin 3 3/4, and he gave Moxley and Janela 4 1/4. And I would swap that round in a heartbeat. Like, I don't think
Yeah, I
Moxley
would
Jan
swap that round too.
I don't think Moxley Janela was a 4 1/4 star match at all. Like, but it was decent. I think that I can see what Moxley was trying to do, though. Like, he's trying to add different elements to his repertoire and not be Dean Ambrose. And
I think that's one thing that came across loud and clear is that he is not Dean Ambrose anymore, right? And I like that a lot. I like the fact that Moxley feels like a huge fucking star. It really does feel like he's been unchained now. And so I think this had a big fight atmosphere to it, and I think Moxley was a huge part of that. I think Janela was a big part of that too. I'm a big Joey Janela fan as well. But yeah, like he feels like a completely different performer than he did in WWE, to the point where when certain people are still calling him Dean Ambrose, it takes me a second because I don't think of him as Dean Ambrose anymore, and it hasn't been that long since he's been there. But he's one of those performers that left and like, no, he's Jon Moxley now. Like, I was not a Dean Ambrose fan. I'm pretty sure I'm a Jon Moxley fan, and I kind of like it.
he's yeah he's changing up his style, and I think that's good. So I think it'll be cool to see where he goes, see what the Moxley Omega match is like, because obviously Moxley and Omega will be going at it all out.
I am so excited for that.
Raw and SmackDown, Sandra. Obviously, SmackDown was not, like, Bischoff wasn't even there, so the
He
first.
wasn't there. He was advertised to be there.
Well, did you not hear this whole thing about
No.
they put those advertisements out without getting okayed from Vince and Creative?
Really?
So I don't know what they were doing with that.
That's not great.
But yeah, Bischoff's first one is going to be the one right after Extreme Rules, the July 16th SmackDown. So see, I mean, I think that you could see that SmackDown was more normalized than Raw was, but talk me through what you thought of Raw and SmackDown this week, especially Raw, given that it seemed to have a Inside the Ropes alumni's fingerprints all over it.
It really did. Raw was actually good. Like, I think it was actually a good show. I wasn't bored by it, and I kind of like I kept wanting to watch it, which was a strange feeling, and I had to like make sure that I was okay and not on the wrong kind of drugs. I thought it was actually really effective. Like the opening match with Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley, obviously everybody's kind of talking about that, and it was surprising that it opened with a match. Like when I went to watch it, I thought I had clicked on the wrong part of Raw to start because I was like, wait, wrestling's happening already. It's not just a long promo. Oh, okay, it's a match. I mean, it's Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley, like whatever, I'm not going to pay that much attention to it. And then all of a sudden, like he spears him through the LED board, and there are all these explosions and things are happening, and I was like, wait, what is something happening? Like, is a thing actually happening on Raw? This is unfamiliar. What is going on? And I really liked the alternate camera angle that they left, that it like kind of just focused down on it, and you could see the backstage people scrambling, and you could see people just kind of scrambling below. I thought it was really inventive, and I thought it was cool and clever and felt different. And I was like, oh, Paul Heyman is definitely there, is he not? So I mean, it opened well, and I kind of perked up. And you know, the Mike and Maria segment. What do you even say about the Mike and Maria segment? Like, I felt like I was back in 1998, right? Because there's pregnancy drama and also poor refereeing because Becky Lynch tapped out Mike Kanellis somehow, even though the rules of the match are that the woman can't be in the ring with the
It
man.
just felt so good to be home, didn't it? Just back in the bosom of, like, the thing is, like, this
I
feels
felt
like
like this was Terry Reynolds and D'Lo Brown all over again.
this feels like a Heyman angle, getting people
Oh, yeah.
talking, like, and like the thing that I'm, because I'm kind of, willing to see where it goes, and it entertained me in a weird way. But then the thing that I found interesting was that I saw some people the next day saying, oh, it was such a burial of Mike Kanellis. It's like, what were they going to do with him anyway? Like, it's not like they have any plans for him, really. His best shot at getting anywhere is with Maria in some way. So he's in a story with her, and, like, I don't know. If I thought he had any better chance, then I'd maybe, like, argue it. But I don't know. I thought that he played his part very well in what he was doing. And Maria is really charismatic. Like, she is.
She's very good. I don't like this story. I'm not a fan of it. And I just never really liked the whole insinuation. You're not man enough to get me pregnant, because apparently, like, being able to impregnate someone is, like, the measure of manhood or something. Whatever, Maria. But.
I guess you need a dick to do it.
What?
I guess you need a dick to do it.
Apparently so.
But then now.
Which is why when she's like, I'll just get Becky Lynch to impregnate me. Did you see on Twitter how Becky was like, you're welcome? I mean, the whole thing is just so hokey and ridiculous and so not up my alley at all. Maria's very good at delivering her lines. Like, she is very good at this. It did make me laugh when Mike and Maria were going to have the mixed tag with Seth and Becky. I was like, Mike Kanellis can't get a win on 205 Live, but sure. I definitely believe he's going to beat the Universal Champion. 100% I believe that. No. No one believes that Mike Kanellis is going to beat Seth Rollins. And, you know, even Maria didn't seem to believe that Mike Kanellis was going to beat Seth Rollins. And then on 205 Live, Mike Kanellis just loses again to Tony Nese in the trios match. So Mike Kanellis just loses stuff. Like, that's the thing. But it doesn't really seem to be as much of a story as Curt Hawkins losing streak. I don't know. Like, I'm willing to see where it goes, I guess, but it just seems to be Mike Kanellis goes into the ground. But, I mean, they're set for 5 years. They signed a new contract, and they have another kid on the way, and they're set. So, good for them. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, yeah, AJ's heel turn on Raw was interesting. That was another thing that happened. I liked that.
Do you have any? I asked the exact same question to Finn, but I think it's the question to ask. There's been a lot of kind of memes and gifs of the 2016 attack on Cena that they did. Do you have more faith this time that they're going to do something better with it? And was the execution of it any more or less impactful, or did it resonate any more or less with you than the last one?
I'm trying to remember the last one. I mean, I really liked the beat up John Cena era of AJ Styles. I thought that was great. I have very cautious optimism that they will do something with this. Very cautious, because I still don't know that I trust this. I still don't know that I trust that Raw is going to continue to, like, do things and make things happen. So it's, I think I had a little bit more faith in 2016 that something was going to happen, because things happened a little more consistently in 2016. I mean, it's not like that was, like, the greatest period of wrestling ever, but we're coming off kind of a slump right now, Kenny. But I liked it a lot. And I a bit of a slump, yes. But I liked the way that they executed it, and I thought it was really well done with AJ and Ricochet. One of the things, as AJ and Ricochet were fighting, it bummed me out that we've had so many useless 2 out of 3 falls matches, because having this match restarted, like AJ winning the title, but then not because of referee shenanigans and all that kind of stuff. I was like, this is a setup for a 2 out of 3 falls match, right? Like, who's actually better? Who's actually going to win? Who's actually going to be victorious? Who is actually the better man? That's why you should have a 2 out of 3 falls match. But I don't want to see AJ and Ricochet in 2 out of 3 falls, because I've already seen so many 2 out of 3 falls. Like, Miz versus Elias again? I felt like I was watching a repeat.
Yeah, the Miz and Elias, somebody had described it online. I can't remember who it was, so of course I'm just going to say it without crediting them. But somebody had been like, the Miz and Elias bring it the worst to each other. They do.
Yeah.
They bring, I saw a video of, like, The Miz says he'll do anything to get a piece of Shane McMahon. I'm like, no, go away. Do something else. I don't. Now, do you think, because you know how last week there was it Mercy the Buzzard last week, and this week it was the other one, the Witch?
Abby the Witch.
But, like, they've both weeks they've been looking at Miz. Is that, like, could that be a thing that, like, they're, like, Miz is somebody that he's targeting or something?
Maybe. I'd be into it. I think that could be very interesting. I think Miz interacting with this version of Bray Wyatt could be gold. actually. Like, I'd be into it. Or maybe it's just that's the way it's worked out. I missed the cameos this week. I didn't notice them. And like I said, I watched the show, but I'm doing other things as I watch the show too. But I kind of like the little cameos. I miss Firefly Funhouse. Like, I want there to be another Firefly Funhouse or some sort of sign of life from Bray Wyatt. But I'm glad that the cast of characters is still being represented on Raw. Were they on SmackDown this week?
They were. I can't remember exactly what segment it was, but they were on there.
So I rely on people who have more focus than I do to do these screen caps and stuff like
Sandra,
that.
on Raw this week, The Undertaker gave 20% of an explanation.
It was 20% more of an explanation than we've gotten in years. So that was helpful. He did mention something about Shane and Drew and their egos. And so I can read into that he
And
is
he.
still upset about Shane McMahon, from their feud
Well, no,
before.
he
And
said he has respect for Shane after their match. He has respect
that's
for him.
true. He
So,
referenced the fact that they fought before.
and now he's not that. I mean, the I
And
think
then
I'm.
he also said something about them rotting in hell, which I didn't care about. I wanted more of an explanation, but like I'm used to no explanation. So it was like the bar's so low there. It's so low that, he managed to just eke over it, just a tiny little bit of an explanation. So I'm pleased that we got as much of it as we did.
I actually think that the, which is weird because like when he came back, the moment was cool. But I'm trying to give credit here because I did say, I bet you he just turns up and that's it. He came out and did give a slight explanation, so that is an improvement. So we'll give it there. But I do think that Roman and Taker against Shane and Drew could be a really fun, no holds barred match, because then
I
you
think it
don't.
could be. I hope it is. I hope it's shenanigans ahoy and
Because you don't want Taker in
it's
there
not just like
doing.
a 30-minute wrestling
Yeah,
match.
because he's not. I mean, he's not that guy anymore. So there's no point in doing that. Do other stuff. Did you see the just while I remember it? Did you see the Goldberg tweet from yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Somebody had tweeted him saying, "After losing to Taker at Super Showdown, are you now done with WWE? You're a Hall of Famer, a former Universal Champion. Do you feel that you need to achieve one more thing before you hang up the boots once and for all?" And he just responded and said, "The only thing I need to accomplish is to raise the feeling I have from my last performance."
Aw, so like I would like him to have another match that is not that.
Yeah.
Why do people keep coming out of retirement to wrestle in Saudi Arabia? It's just not going well.
Yeah, like the track record is not good. Did you see that? Right, this he so here is something that I was perplexed about. Nicki Minaj is performing in Saudi Arabia at a festival.
What?
Nicki Minaj.
Really? Okay.
She was just at Gay Pride at the weekend. Like,
Of course she was.
what? Like, I don't even have a problem if you're like, take the dirty money, but like, leave it a couple of weeks when you've just been like, I love the gays, to be like, I'm going to Saudi Arabia. Like,
Kenny, didn't you know that once July 1 hits, no one can be proud anymore and we go back in the closet and we don't matter? Because I thought that's how it worked.
Oh, do you know what the thing I've noticed recently, and it's like, look, it's very nice, is like the allies of gay people who are like sometimes louder than the gay people. And I'm like, I like that you're an
Oh, yeah.
ally, but you
But
get
it's not
behind
about
you
you.
get behind me in the fucking queue, love.
Right?
Anyway, it's a whole different conversation. But
Attention, Taylor Swift.
yeah, attention. Because it's like if you watch RuPaul's Drag Race, Michelle Visage is essentially a gay man. She's just a
Pretty
woman,
much.
so like, and she's like spent her whole life basically being around all gay people and fighting for gay rights. So I'm like, you get a pass, but like these people are like, oh, I'm so in solidarity with the LGBT. So have you heard there's like a new A at the end of it? So it's the LGBTQIAA. So it's
There's
like,
another A? I thought that there was just one A, but it stood for like
no,
asexual and
oh no. So it's lesbian, gay. Bi, trans, queer, individual, asexual, ally.
there's not an A for ally.
Oh, those fucking allies are trying to put an A in there. I'm like, look,
There's not an A for ally.
LGBTQ is not pi here. It's not 3.14 and it keeps going. Like,
No.
we need to be able to stop talking eventually with at the end of it.
Because I've heard, I remember back in the day when they started adding tons of letters, I think it was LGBTQQIA+.
Wait a minute, there is a
Because there was
LG.
queer and questioning, but there was not an ally.
You know, oh, wait a minute, there's another one. So there's LGBTQIAA. There's also one with a P at the end.
Pansexual?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of letters.
There's
There's just a lot going on.
I just feel like eventually I'm gonna not be able to say it anymore.
It's just going to take too long.
LGBTQ.
Yeah.
And then could oh no, it's intersex, not individual.
Yeah,
Intersex.
that's why I was like, it's not individual, it's intersex.
I mean, it's a whole thing. Back to Raw. I thought Raw was good though. I loved Samoa Joe turning up and Kikina Clutch and Xavier Woods.
That was good.
My favorite bit of Raw was the moment where we went from Maria Kanellis shouting at Mike about how he's not a man and she wished that Becky Lynch had impregnated him, right to Charlie Caruso, who looks baffled.
She's just
Right
like, what the fuck is going on?
to Paul Heyman walking in and everybody in the arena screaming like Madonna's turned up. Like, it was the best 30-second turnaround of stuff I've seen in so long. It was so good. So I loved that.
It was like retro Raw levels of crazy. And then the Street Profits were randomly on Raw.
Who are now
Like,
apparently, they are still going to be in NXT. They're still the NXT Tag Team Champions, but they're also going to work Raw.
I was going to say, the last time we called up the NXT Tag Team Champions, it did not go very well. What are they doing to my Street Profits? We just got them to be champions. I'm so happy that they're champions. Like, they've, become interesting in NXT, and why are they on Raw?
This is apparently another Heyman call. That he really wanted some fresh talent, and he really likes the Street Profits, and it was something he pushed for. So,
I mean, I know a lot of people are making comparisons between the Street Profits and Private Party, obviously having a really good showing on the buy-in, which I haven't even watched that match yet. I haven't gotten a chance, I just realized. But yeah, like I like the Street Profits. I'm happy to see them. I think they're charismatic and fun and add to the broadcast.
talk to me about SmackDown. What did you make of the show? And obviously, because it wasn't
What happened on SmackDown?
Sorry?
I'm like, what happened on SmackDown? I'm happy that Heavy Machinery are facing Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan instead of Dolph Ziggler and Kevin Owens. Oh, Kevin Owens cut a great promo at the start of SmackDown where he speaks for all of us. He speaks for me for sure when he tells Dolph Ziggler, "Stop it, stop it. It's not you. It should be me. It should be me. It
It was
should be
kind of
me.
you
Yeah."
years ago, but it wasn't, and it
It
won't be
should have been
again.
you 8 years ago, and it kind of was, but then it wasn't, and now it's never going to be again. So just shut up. And the heavens opened, and angels were singing, and I thought, yes, Kevin Owens, you speak for us all. I love him. I love him unabashedly. I have undying admiration for Kevin Owens in my heart because of this promo, because this is exactly how I felt about Dolph Ziggler for so many years. And it's just been very frustrating that he just keeps coming back and says the same thing. And what does Dolph Ziggler do after Kevin Owens cuts this amazing promo on him, telling him that it shouldn't be him? He just goes, "Everyone in the WWE universe knows that it should be me." And the Kevin Owens reaction, where he's like falling into the ropes, like he just cannot even with Dolph Ziggler. I felt like my spirit was embodied in Kevin Owens on this particular evening.
Yeah, the Owens stuff with Ziggler was great, and Ziggler's like, you would eat a hot dog. The hot dog thing was really good. I mean,
He's like, "What was it? At least
so he said
if
so,
I were in a hot dog contest, I would win,
which is
like
more than I
unlike
could say
you
for you
with
and your wrestling
matches."
matches. Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that the thing with Owens and Ziggler, and putting them in the main event, like I actually was a decent story. I mean, it involves Ziggler, so it's hard to care. But I think that putting them in, I think all it needed was it needed something else about why Ziggler and Owens had to do it. Because, like, why would they just be like, well, yeah, we need the tag titles? Like,
Well, I think didn't like throughout the show, like they tried to have some sort of conversation. Like, didn't Dolph say like we should, work together and win this or something like
yeah,
that?
but like, why? Why would
I don't
they
know.
why would they why would they want the tag titles? I mean, it's a way to get, it's a
to
way
win a
to.
thing, I guess. But yeah, like they didn't really explain that very well. It would have been nice if they were like, we have, like, because I think Kevin acknowledged as well that his own wrestling career, like in terms of wins and losses, hasn't been going super well lately either. And so it would be like, okay, maybe like we can band together, we can win a thing, we can get our careers, you know, back on top that way, something like that. But they didn't really go there. I think they kind of did in one of the segments, but yeah, like it was fine. And the match was good, but it had Dolph Ziggler in it.
Yeah, I mean, SmackDown felt. I mean, we did also get the thing with Aleister Black seeing someone knocking his door last week. No one was there, and he's gonna, reveal themselves at Extreme Rules. Who do you think it is? Is it Randy Orton? Is it Bray Wyatt? Who do you think is going to be the person to reveal themselves at Extreme Rules?
I don't know. Like, I hope it's not Bray Wyatt. I don't want Bray Wyatt versus Aleister Black right now because I don't think that either one of them can really lose that match. And I don't really want to see Bray Wyatt wrestle yet. Randy Orton wouldn't be a bad shout, actually, I suppose. Someone asked me this week who my least favorite wrestler in WWE was, a friend of mine, and I had to think about it because I was so elated with the Kevin Owens promo. And I was like, I think my least favorite might be Ziggler right now. Like, I think I might hate Orton less than I hate Ziggler,
Of course you
which
do.
is, you know, like at least Orton can be kind of effective in storytelling.
You've softened a little bit to Orton, like 5%. Whereas like with Ziggler, you've not softened him at all.
No, I
Plus,
still
like
want to throw him to
Orton,
the sun very badly.
well, Orton's not very overbearing. Like Orton doesn't like, whereas like
And he
Ziggler
goes
just
away for a while, which is
exactly.
helpful.
Whereas like we always just get shouting from Dolph.
Yeah.
But I didn't. SmackDown, apart from that, just kind of felt like a samey show as usual. I no, I well, I do want to say this specifically for Sean Campbell because I'm not the sort of person. I thought Kofi Kingston did a very good job in his promo. I think he finally stepped it up in some way, shape, or form. Thank the Lord. He flipped
The Kofi
off.
Kingston Samoa Joe promo was very, very good. I liked that a lot. And Samoa Joe is one of those guys who, like, for some reason, I forget when he's on screen that he keeps losing all the time because he's so charismatic and he's so good at what he does and he seems like such a monster. Like, he seems like a formidable foe. So
Do you know if I was
he
Samoa
just.
Joe's friend, right? And I was like, we were hanging out. I'd be like, Joe, I'm going to tell you something here that I think is just it's a gift, essentially. You should never have your hair this long. Ever.
It is getting excessive.
But like, like some people, I don't look good with really long hair. I mean, my hair is long-ish, like, because I slick it back and stuff, but like, I look better when I've got like a shave down at the side or something. But his hair just looks weird. It looks like he suits having short hair much, much better.
Yes, I think
Much.
he does. I don't know. Like, I think Samoa Joe and his hair look fine right now, but I wouldn't want it to get any longer.
If you were going to have sex with Samoa Joe, right, would you want him at some point to lock in the coquina clutch or not?
Of course.
Just wanted to know. I liked Kofi flipping Joe off. That was good. And yeah, I mean, the Joe thing, he does lose so often, but he somehow manages to make you forget about it for a little while when he's out there.
And he still feels like a believable threat to Kofi Kingston. And he feels like the contender that we wanted for Kofi Kingston, right? Like, I'm trying to just accept the fact that we live in the world of the wild card rule now. Like, I hate it. I want to burn it with fire. But
It was less
if
prevalent this week, which is good.
it was less prevalent, and I think, you know, at least we're going with Samoa Joe and Kofi Kingston, and that didn't really, they weren't on Raw, were they? I'm trying to remember.
They were, yeah, because there was a six-man tag.
Oh yeah. Okay. Like, I don't know. It's hard to keep the shows separate or like keep the show straight with the wild card rule happening too. So I forget what happened on what show. But yeah, I thought the promo on SmackDown was great, and I really liked that segment. And I'm all in on Kofi Kingston versus Samoa Joe. And I think that if Kofi Kingston beats Samoa Joe, which I have to think that he will, then he's gonna feel like more of a credible champion. So I'm glad that that worked for you. That was something I was wondering about.
You know, it worked better for me, so I wanted to. I made sure to tweet about it as well because I'm like, if you're gonna shout and rant about something that's not working, if something does then work, you kind of have to, like, eat your words and say at work.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, and
he
it's nice if it turns around, right?
yeah.
Because you want to enjoy the thing that you're watching.
Yeah, I like Kofi. I don't like him. You were going to tell me about something that was going on with David Starr in NWS. I do want to say that I did see today Dave Meltzer had written that Walter and David Starr went ahead and did that angle at OTT without MDLS's knowledge.
Did they really?
And I think that's. I just think that's a bit of a dick move. Because, well, I mean, I don't know. It's difficult because for Walter, it's like he doesn't look like he cares at all. But I don't know. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing the thing that David Starr did. But then I guess if Walter knew about it and Walter's like, well, look, I'm happy to do it. Yeah. I think it's more if David Starr had done it without Walter's knowledge, I would have.
Then that would have been a dick move.
Because then it's like, well, you're potentially putting someone's job in jeopardy. Whereas if they decide to do it together, I mean, it's great for David Starr. It's not I mean, for Walter, I don't really know what that means. But hey, anyway, so what you were gonna tell me something about David Starr. I've not a chance to really look at it. What's going on?
So David Starr is launching a basically kind of like a wrestler union type situation, We the Independent, and they put out a podcast last week kind of explaining what they're doing. And I did listen to the podcast, and of course I was like in a car and didn't take notes on the podcast, but it's a really interesting concept. They're partnering with a company called Equity in the UK, which is like a trade, like labor organization for performers, basically. Like, they represent actors and singers and all sorts of people like that, who kind of are independent type contractors, right? And so this is something that will eventually, down the road, they're looking to help wrestlers get access to legal advice, like if contracts are put in front of them by companies like Ring of Honor or WWE or whoever, they can get legal advice, like, is this contract good for me? Is this contract bad for me? Am I going to be locked into something I don't want to be locked into? They want to get better working conditions for wrestlers. Like, they want independent companies to, one of the things they mentioned in the podcast, like, right now, one of their starting kind of goals is going to independent promotions and saying, are you providing travel for your wrestlers? Like, are you providing locker rooms for your wrestlers? Are you providing food for your wrestlers? Like, are you providing food and water so that they can eat and drink
No,
at
they
the
are not
show?
usually.
And a lot of times they are not. And it is not a hard thing to do. So they're looking at like working with, independent organizations and going to them and saying like, hey, if you like what we're doing, like, these are our requirements. Like, we just want you to be able to provide, like, food and water for your wrestlers. Like, that's not that much to ask. So yeah, it's interesting. This equity program, apparently you can buy into it for like £10 a month or something like that and be part of the organization. So they're starting kind of small. They're having like a group of wrestlers, and I don't know who's all involved with it. They just launched today, and I woke up like 10 minutes before we started recording this podcast, so I haven't really gotten a chance to look at their website so much. But they have like a group of wrestlers that are what they're calling their brand ambassadors that, rep their t-shirts. You've probably seen them on Twitter, the independent t-shirts. Have you seen these?
I have. I mean, I just want to say equity is a huge deal over here in the UK. Like,
Yeah, like, I'm not familiar with it, so I wondered if it was something that you knew.
they're almost like the Screen Actors Guild.
Okay.
Like, equity is like for actors and singers and theater and directors and like it is a big thing. I mean, it'll be kind of interesting because I'm guessing if you're like OTT and ICW and Progress, you can't really get involved in that because. You know, you
Well,
have
they're not
a.
really looking at like organizations getting involved with it.
Oh no! What I mean is, what
They're
I mean is, though, is what I mean is that, like, I'm get because I'm guessing that what you want is that, I'm get what I'm I'll need to listen to because I'm curious about how, could you hold OTT to account, for example, if they've not agreed to be in it or agreed to, like, do they have to comply with the rules according to Equity? I'm curious about that kind of thing, but. It's a really impressive thing that he's doing. If he's able to pull it off, I mean, Jesse Ventura tried a union in the 80s. Luckily, there's not a Hulk Hogan in the UK
Right.
to stop them. But
Well, and it's kind of cool because it is like it's independent wrestlers, right? Like, it's not like a company specific thing. And one of the things that David Starr makes very clear in the podcast, which is worth listening to, for sure, is that they're not anti people getting contracts, right? Like they just want, if people are getting contracts to these companies, they want the contracts to be good and mutually beneficial between the company and the wrestler. They don't want it to just be companies taking advantage of wrestlers. Because I think that has happened plenty of times where companies have been like, hey, we're going to sign you to a contract. And then it ends up not being a good deal for the wrestler, right? So it's, they have like all kind of their ducks in a row, and all of the like a portion of all the proceeds of the independent shirts that they sell are going to like fund like wrestler memberships with equity and that working relationship and that kind of thing. And it sounds really feasible, actually. Like when you talk about wrestling and unions, it sounds like something that's just like completely never going to happen. Like a lot of people say, oh, it's never going to happen because it's just completely infeasible. And a lot of the steps that they're taking, they're kind of like crawling before they walk, walk before they run, that kind of thing. They're starting slow, but I really like the way it's headed. And if it improves conditions for wrestlers, and if it means that people, you know, get paid more of a fair wage and have food and water to act like have access to food and water at their shows and that kind of thing, then I mean, I'm all for it personally. I think improving the conditions for wrestlers is important.
Yeah, no, I mean, I remember when I worked at WCPW, I was gonna go as I'm spitting. I'm not. It's a joke, but anyway. But when I was at WCPW, one of the things that we made sure to do was we made sure we had food, we made sure we had water and stuff for talent. So, it's, yeah, it's something that everybody should do. And I mean, one of the other things that hopefully that could help with is stuff like having a medical team. It shows because obviously we saw
That was another thing they brought up. Yep.
about the death at Rev Pro. No, was it the Rev Pro show? It was the show in London, with the, oh God, me blanking on the name here. It makes me sound horrendous.
When was
The
this?
Mexican wrestler that died. He'd been around since the 90s. I'm trying to Google it now. Silver King, when Silver King was had the
Oh.
match in London, and he collapsed, and it was, you know what, it was a Lucha Libre wrestling show in London, and but a lot of the promotions, I guess their kind of argument is we don't have the money to bring in emergency crews, but if an emergency crew had been there, that could have saved Silver King. I mean, these things can, you know, can only might only happen once in a lifetime, but I, you know, if it can save somebody, then
But if it can save someone's life,
yeah.
yeah, because I mean, that's one of those things that's pretty important, like having medical staff on hand. Yeah, like I would say that that's an important thing for independent shows. And for shows to be like, we don't have the money for that, then I don't know, that's kind of inexcusable. But I mean, like independent wrestling doesn't have money, you know, like they just don't. So it's interesting seeing, like, I don't know, kind of seeing progress like this and seeing like a bunch of the wrestlers who have been kind of like repping the independent shirts. Like you can kind of get a feel if you're on Twitter of like certain people who might be involved in it and like the brand ambassador type capacity. But I don't know, it sounds like a really cool way to get together. And I mean, the independent shirts are really cool. Like I kind of want one. I'm probably gonna buy one because that, you know, helps support this whole thing. And it sounds like a really fascinating idea. So yeah, listen to his podcast because he can explain it a lot better than I can, obviously. And I don't, like, I'm not familiar with equity, so I'm just kind of going based on what I heard on the show. But I
There
mean,
you go.
having, you know, access to, you know, potential like medical care for wrestlers who are injured, or, you know, legal advice if a promoter screws you over, or whatever, like if a promoter agrees to pay you a certain amount and doesn't pay you that amount, like is that a breach of contract? They can have, you know, legal help with that kind of situation. It all sounds really positive.
Okay, so I did ask if anybody had anything they wanted to talk about. We did just have a couple of things we wanted us to mention. Do you watch Stranger Things, Sandra? Has that come into your pop culture ether, or is that?
Yes, and I'm really excited for the new season that is out today, and I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet, obviously, but
I think I'm gonna have to go back and watch either the last episode of season two or the last couple, because when you binge watch, I tend to forget specifics. So I might, yeah, I think maybe tonight I'll watch the last two, of that, and then
I think I'm going to go on YouTube and do like a, is there a season two recap that
Yeah,
I
that's a
can
good
potentially?
idea. I'm gonna Google that right now. This is not a Stranger Things thing, but it's just something I like. There was a show on for years called The Good Wife, which I used to watch, which was really good, which is like a legal drama thing. And it's about this guy who is a very high-ranking official. He ends up getting caught with prostitutes. So his wife, who's like really embarrassed about it, she has to go back to work as a lawyer. But she has to go in as like an intern. And she's
Does
like,
that have Juliana Margulies?
yeah, she's the star
I
of it.
remember ads for this.
And there's like Christine Baranski's in it. It's great. And that went on for 7 seasons, but then they made a spin-off called The Good Fight, where one of the characters is still in the same city and now there's a different law firm stuff. And that spin-off is now in its third season. And I've started watching that, and it's great. And like the third season of The Good Fight focuses on Trump and the collusion. And
Ooh.
they kind of bring these fictional characters into like politics as if it's like within the real world. So it's, I think The Good Wife, if you want to start at the beginning, The Good Wife is on Amazon Prime, but you could just watch The Good Fight as well.
That
So
sounds interesting.
just tips.
If I had more time to watch more shows, I'd be all
Says
about
the
it.
woman that stayed up till like what time watching Drag Race last night?
Like 5 a.m.
5 a.m. Okay, good.
Which this is the problem. I have Drag Race on my radar, so I don't have time for other things right now. Like I'm gonna have to put Drag Race season 6 off so that I can watch Stranger Things and then go back to Drag Race. I don't know. There's just a lot.
There is. I think I can probably do Stranger Things in like a day if I just really blitz it. If I
Yeah.
carve it some time. What else? This you can try and take this one. Adric Mason wants to know, Kenny and Sondra are the newest tag team in wrestling. What is your tag team name?
Oh gosh, I don't know. What would we be called? You're better at tag team names than I am. You care more about them.
Either Dint or Cuck. Combination of cunt and dick. That's my
I
answer.
don't want to be called Cuck.
Dint. There will be Dint.
We'll be Dint.
Here
Why
comes
not?
Dint. Luke Thompson, how far do you think WWE will push the limits of their PG rating? Talk from Meltzer, them continuing the same fashion of this week going forward. Can you see them, excuse me, ever going back to a 14 rating? Would that be a good or a bad thing? I think they will push things more. Because they feel that they have to, because they've got competition. But ultimately, it will just come down to good stories. So I think whether it's 14 or PG doesn't really matter. What do you think?
Yeah, the thing is, I don't want it to go back to a 14 rating because I feel like if you have a 14 rating, then they just lean on crutches of like being risque and, boobs and swearing and all that kind of stuff, which
Some people
makes me
like tits,
sound.
Sondra.
I like tits just fine, but I think that tits can be a crutch instead of having good storytelling. I think that like to pop a rating or to, be shocking or something like that, if they have a 14 rating, then they'll just like try stuff for shock value and think that that's the part of the Attitude Era that everyone wants to go back to when a lot of the Attitude Era stuff that works involves cohesive storytelling and logical outcomes to stories and character consistency and that kind of thing. Like, I would rather see them focus on character consistency than shock value, personally, because I think that's going to make for a better program in the long run.
Robert Fletcher says, "How much talk about how much Transmit will be a pain in the hole for us working in pubs in the area." So Transmit's a festival in Glasgow.
I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
People don't think about the people that surround festivals because people who festival goers are cunts. And if you are working in a surrounding area, I mean, there's just no.
I
It's
worked
good.
downtown hall and during tulip time, it was not fun.
Yeah, and Transmit's really full of knobs. So. Yogi Bear says, going to have a wee rant about WWE canceling Raw in Glasgow. The thing about the move is weird because they're keeping the show but making it a house show, and then they're making the Manchester show a double taping. I don't know, like Glasgow, the last time we got TV was 3 years ago, and now to get this cancelled feels a bit like a crock of shit. And then like I don't have faith that they're gonna come back and do it in April. So, I just think at a time where another promotion might be coming into town and be in like millions and millions and millions more homes in a very small area of which is the UK, that it's maybe not time to fuck these people over. And it's also like, yeah, you get the option of a refund, but then, or you can keep your ticket. Well, why don't you refund some of the money? Because there's a fucking house show. Like,
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, aren't tickets more expensive for TV for you guys?
yeah, they are. So.
So, yeah, that's the part of it that seems like really a load of bullshit. Honestly, I think a house show is probably going to be more fun than a TV taping.
That's not a, that, but over here that is very different, because over here it's like we don't get WWE a lot, we don't get the big show a lot, so like there's a lot of people in Glasgow who like they can't afford to go to different cities or different towns. So for them, it's like we get to go to Monday Night Raw, we get to see the
Right.
TV show, and you know, like I think for those kind of people, I mean, for us, we've been a lot of stuff, so we sometimes that can happen. But I think that there's a lot of kids and stuff who want to go to Raw, they want to be on TV, they want to go and see something, and excuse me, I just think it's a real, yeah, it's a crock, so I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds especially shitty if TV tickets are more expensive and they're not refunding like a portion of the ticket since it's a live show. Like that seems like bullshit to me. I'd be mad.
Anything else you want to discuss or bring up before we go?
I'm trying to think. Beyond's Uncharted Territory was awesome last night. They had like a 3 hour show, which is not it, like their shows normally aren't that long. They're normally 2 hours, but it was Joey Janela's birthday bash, and it was a lot of fun. There was so much good wrestling on there. Bear Country versus the stunt doubles, Marco and Logan stunt was incredible. Like Marco and Logan are so teeny and Bear Country are so big. So it was a really interesting dynamic there. Sunny Kiss was in a man-sized birthday present and came out and attacked Chris Dickinson. And then we got Sunny Kiss versus Chris Dickinson, which was fantastic as well.
And
Joey Janela versus Josh Briggs was fantastic. Like I loved that show last
you
night.
can get that on the independent wrestling.
Yep,
What
that's on
is
the independentwrestling.tv, the same place that you can watch Chikara. So if you sign up for the 20-day free trial to listen to our Chikara show on Patreon, then you can also watch Beyond's Uncharted Territory.
And I also would like to throw out a congratulations to Joey Ryan for continuing to make everything about him. Because in a debate about intergender wrestling, he somehow managed to make that about him being an ally to gay people. Because of course he did. But
You're Loathing for him knows no
he just
bounds.
loves himself. Absolutely loves himself. He just thinks he's just so great in every single way. Ugh. I hate him. But if you listened to our Chikara podcast, Sondra is going to have me watch a little bit more intergender wrestling in the next couple of weeks. So I'm going to watch some matches. So there's that.
So I think maybe we could discuss that next week or so.
Yes, give me three matches, and I'll watch three. I mean, look, I'll even agree that if you want to give me one that involves, you know who, Joey Ryan, I will do my best to
Well,
not,
I don't know. Like,
because I know
honestly,
he's
when
an
I think of
intergender wrestler.
intergender matches, yeah, he's an intergender wrestler, but like, I'd rather show you Shotzi Blackheart or Solo Darling or, like Kimberly versus MJF was a lot of fun. I mean, I'm going to show you. I think you can watch because you have access to my Chikara. If you want to watch like a really fantastic King of Trios final, then British Strong Style versus the Sendai Girls. But I think the Colony versus the Sendai Girls is on YouTube, so everyone can watch that. I'm going to try to find stuff that's on YouTube so people can watch along with us.
Cool. Okay, well, listen, what are the plugs?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at SandraRuthRW. Find Kenny on Twitter at KennyMC1985. Follow Inside the Ropes at Inside underscore the Ropes. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/InsideTheRopes for the Chikara podcast, for pay-per-view reviews, retro pay-per-view reviews, bonus content with Kenny and Finn, lots of stuff there. It really does actually help us a lot. Like, we're not just saying, like, hey, give us money. Like, it's the reason that I'm able to do the show because I wouldn't have time to, like, work more hours at my job, like, and do the show. So that kind of balances things out so that I can eat and do things like that because I'm told eating is a good idea. YouTube.com/InsideTheRopes. Really cool that we hit 90,000 subscribers. I got really excited about it. And if we get to 100,000, then that's even cooler. So subscribe to us there and watch our stuff because there's a lot of really good interview content there. InsideTheRopes.co.uk for tickets to live events. Tickets for Awesome Kong are on sale now.
So that is it for us. Whose song should play us out?
That's a good question. Who did stuff this week? Should we play Kevin Owens' theme for cutting that really great promo on Dolph Ziggler that just made my world?
Yeah, let's play that. The closest to getting him sent to the sun. Here's Kevin Owens, everybody. Bye.
Bye.